All right, ladies and gents, we're back today with some hip-hop artists, some people, some really cool people I've seen live, signed to Strange Famous Records. We've got the Meter Maids. How are you guys doing?
Hey, man, we're doing great.
Living the dream. Like, so happy to be talking to you.
Thanks for having us.
So I want to introduce the first guy. Sentence?
Yeah.
What's up?
My name is Sentence. I'm the brains of the operation. And, I don't know. I'm doing good.
Yeah. Where are you located right now?
Right now, I'm in Montreal, Quebec.
Ooh, French town. That's so nice.
I'm a French town. I'm an expat. I left the beautiful United States to Sean. Y'all can keep it.
Yeah, this country ain't big enough.
His French getting pretty good too.
Oh, really?
His French getting pretty good. Yeah. Oui, oui.
You guys still get together?
We got together for a couple of times this summer. We got together for Strange Famous Fest, and then we had a show in Portland, Maine. But like, that's it. We really haven't spent much time together over the last 6 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were spoiled. We were spoiled with Denver and Portland so close to each other. But, you know, we're prioritizing now spending more time together. You know what I mean? Like we had been apart doing our own thing, didn't even realize how big a hole it had left in our lives to not have each other and have the music. So getting like post pandemic, it's all about the right priorities again, you know?
Yeah, you want to get the right people in your life. You want to surround yourself with the good ones. So you guys toured a lot in the past as well, and you guys must have had crazy stories from all over the place. What were some of your favorite towns, and what were some of the craziest towns that you played?
I mean, I don't know. Favorite towns, like, there's certain ones that I just love every time we go there, like Seattle, Portland, San Francisco.
Minneapolis,
for sure. Yeah. Providence. Providence is always dope.
Yeah, Providence is fly. Dude, we've had some crazy shows in L.A. at the Viper Room, dude. Like, the, you know, the club that Rivers Phoenix died at in the parking lot. We played the Viper Room a bunch of times, man. That shit was lit too.
Yeah. I know it well. That's the one that you want to get in. Like, you're trying hard as a musician to get in clubs like that. It's famous. Viper Room, LA. You guys play San Francisco?
Yeah.
Even before Strange Famous, we would have dope shows in San Francisco.
No shit.
San Francisco's always been great. And then the last time we played was with Sage at the Independent, and that's one of my favorite shows we've ever been a part of, period.
That's a great room. That's right on Fillmore Street, right across the street from a nice barbecue joint.
Yeah, man. No, it was so dope. San Francisco's so dope.
Yeah. I'll never forget, we're living in San Francisco. It would be normal on Fillmore. You'd see a guy walking down the street butt naked except for a sock over his genitals. That's like normal there. And I was like,
that's a normal thing.
That's cool. Well, it's legal.
Business casual.
business casual, right? Depends on which business you're in. If I was working at the meat processing plant, I might want to wear something.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like adequate junk protection at all.
No.
So what else? I mean, where else have, like, you ever, like, yeah,
I mean, touring in general, you know, I mean, touring is like, it's like high school, you know. It's like, for some people it's like the best time of their life, and for some people it's just like the worst, and it all depends on the experience. And like, I think we've gone through both of those. And like, I know Sean, you have the best story about touring that I wasn't on when you were on in the Midwest.
Yeah.
What happened?
We played a show. These are with my Red Lake homies, Edge and DX. I went on a Midwest tour with them, and we played South Dakota, and the crew that threw the show didn't show up. So we ended up freestyling for an hour to like three people. And one of these three people was this interesting woman who invited us back to her place afterwards. And, you know, it was a bummer of a night. Like, we got back to their place. They, you know, like, she was bumping loose music so loud, the cops showed up. Like, the whole time I was trying to steal away and just go to sleep, you know? And this girl was so drunk that she brought me into her bedroom, and she was like, "You're sleeping with me." And I was like, "I got a girlfriend." And she was like, "That's fine. You're sleeping with me." And then she made me put on her ex-boyfriend's shirt, which was way small on me, like a belly shirt. And so I slept in a bed with this girl, and she passed out and was like farting all night and like making awful noises. And I'm in this belly shirt, like, just, you know, panicking, just total utter panic. Like, that might be one of the lowest moments of my life, right?
And that was, from what I heard, like, that was just like one of the stories of every night there. There were, like, something every night.
Yeah. When you're with the Red Lake homies, like, shit goes down. You know, we played a show on the reservation that ended in a full scale riot, like people throwing chairs through the windows and shit because they tried to cut the set short. Whoa. I've never seen anything like it.
That sounds like a punk rock show.
Yeah, no, it was lit. Like, the whole res was out. There were like 15 artists on the bill. They tried to cut it short. It ended in a whole ass riot. Yeah. That night too, I had like a 50-year-old woman come up to me. And then, you know, Sentence was joking. I'm the less attractive member of Meter Maids, right? I had this 50-year-old woman come up to me after my set, and she was like, "You're coming home with me." She was like, "Don't move." And I was like, "What?" I ended up hiding behind a monitor.
I would have just complied, man. I would just been, "All right, I'm going."
She wasn't asking.
I think, like, the other, like, fun show stories we have aren't really necessarily like touring, although we had like good touring stories, but like, we played a lot of shows where we probably shouldn't have been there, like, in, back in the Let's Get Signed to a Major Label day, back when we had like a team, like, we were playing shows with like Fabulous, like, we were on tour with like D-Block. So we're doing these shows where the audience is like, "Who are these guys?" And like, we were just like lucky to make it off stage without getting like something thrown at us or whatever. But we saw like funny things happen to like some big names on those tours who opened, like Tyga or something like that. Like, we saw some shit go down. It was like,
Tyga,
oh,
Tyga almost didn't make it out of Philly. Dead ass. Like, the crowd was booing him, and his hype man like threw mad water on the front of the crowd, and shit changed from that moment.
What?
That was crazy. Yeah, we were opening for D-Block. I remember we were in our green room after our set, and D-Block was forming up on the stairs about to go down, and their homie Bully took up the entire door to our green room. The man was so massive, he eclipsed the door.
What makes a crowd turn like that?
Hearing "A Lime in a Coconut" by Tyga. I don't know.
That's it.
I mean, they're at a D-Block show. They don't want to hear that.
This is like hello. This is like pre-Rack City Tyga. This is like TRL Tyga. Like, he was on some pop shit back then. So I don't know who put him on that tour, but that was a bad look. Hmm. We did better on that tour.
Still, but you were scared.
I don't know if we were scared. Well, I don't know if we were scared. We just knew we didn't belong. We got up, we got on stage, we did our thing, and we dipped, and that was it. And everyone was so confused. We were short enough. our set was short enough that everyone was just so confused that they didn't have time to get upset. And then we're off, like, okay, I don't know what that was. Who's next? Okay.
Yeah. Get the hell out of there.
I remember after one of those shows, going to the merch table and going to settle up and saying to the merch girl, like, hey, we sell anything? And she looked at me like, you kidding? Like, fuck no. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. I mean, but later on, you guys do better. You get teamed up with Sage Francis and you start playing the shows. Did the crowds change for you? What the fuck is that? Stock car going by. Holy shit.
I'm telling you, I'm on like Financial Street back blocks right now.
Homie's in Manhattan right now, by the way, lower Manhattan. So.
Yeah, no, like when Sentence and I were doing the indie tour shit, I tell Sage this all the time. Like, we would daydream just about being Sage's opener. You know what I mean? That's like where we daydream, was just being in the van with him and repping Strange Famous. So, like, being able to open shows for him and play to packed out crowds that were into it, like, it was a literal dream come true. You know what I mean? Like, it was everything that we hoped it would be. And like, Stage is like one of my best friends now. Like, I love the man.
Yeah. How did that go?
I married him. We had been sort of a Strange Famous adjacent for mad long. Like, we helped a lot of Strange Famous homies book shows in New York.
I produced a track for Sage and Slug.
Yeah, that's right.
Waiting Tables.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Which
so
one?
That was way back in the day. Day Grows Old with Slug.
Oh, that was you.
Yeah, dude.
But like a violin kind of sound in it, or
it's got some guitar that's out of tune. That
okay,
probably should have been a better sample.
Oh shit, I'll have to check that out. I didn't know that. Okay,
that's how I met Sage, and then like I was sending him albums when I was doing solo stuff way back in the day, so I kind of knew him from a long time ago. And then Sean was, you were what, DJing for Strange Famous people when they came through New York, right?
Yeah, and like you know, we just if Prolific wanted to show, you just spoke to Mopes, like, mm-hmm. Mopes's first Brooklyn show, we threw that for him. We brought Dolan through a bunch of times, so we were always sort of adjacent, and we had done a bunch of songs with Ninth Wonder down in North Carolina, and actually had like a pretty solid album to bring to the table. And yeah, and then he heard that and was into it, and then he jumped on a couple songs, and Buck 65 jumped on a song. That's how we got started, and it's been like just an absolute dream ever since then. Dead ass.
You guys Buck 65 fans too, huh?
Yeah, man. Yeah,
I've always really appreciated, like,
how could you not be, right? Like,
seeing Buck 65 live was like one of my favorite shows.
So dope.
It's like a one man band kind of thing with a him and an NPC and like a microphone and a book.
Yeah.
And he was nasty. Like, when I saw him, he had like a turntable. He was nasty on the turntable too.
Yeah.
He could scratch. He can scratch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Biggest record collection in North America or some shit too.
Really?
Yeah, like record winning size of record collection he's got. He's got tons of vinyl, warehouses of it. So.
That's so dope. Yeah, he should go, him and Buddy P should do a one for one and see who's got more, man.
Well, Buddy P is not North America, so they can hold the title in.
Yeah, that's true.
Where's Buddy P from?
The UK.
Yeah, he's the London. He's a London genius.
So that, yeah. So what do you guys do as far as inspiration behind beats and producing and recording? What's your, like, how do you do it? What's your secret?
Sean, start.
So we our friend Alexander Brown put out an amazing record on Strange Famous called Glow Kid. he's a producer, and oh, I just got so much city juice on me.
I can smell it.
He put together this amazing record called Glow Kid, where I was featured on a track with Jesse the Tree, who's our homie now. And I like his production. I hadn't written anything in probably 7 or 8 years, or since our last record came out, and his production just hit me in the right spot. Like, it felt very nostalgic in a way, but not not like Jurassic 5, like, oh, classic hip hop. You know what I mean? It just sounded grown. And I don't know, Sentence and I both fathers now, like, we've been through so much, and there's a lot to talk about in adult life, you know what I mean? Like, this shit is insane and it makes no sense. So the whole record is just trying to make sense of adult life, which includes doing podcast interviews, you know,
in the middle of the day
on a backpack in the fun finance, so getting some, like, a little city juice shower.
Sometimes you gotta get a little city juice on you when you gotta take care of kids, you know. So how has fatherhood changed your music career, both of you?
I think it's hard to say for me, because, like, we were doing Meter Maid stuff so long ago, and we took this big gap, and then I became a father during that gap. So, like, me coming back into it, I'm coming into it as a dad. And so much has changed. That's just one part of it. You know, like, we're not, like, constantly touring right now. We're just getting back into this, like, really solid groove of making music. I think for me, like, the biggest thing is it's hard to find time to work on shit. So, like, my kid wakes up early, and then, like, I have to work, and then I pick her up from daycare and all this kind of stuff. So, like, the time that I used to have just, like, sit around and write shit and, like, take my time, like, it's not there anymore. So, like, it's much more of a deliberate action when I want to get things done, when I want to write, when I want to conceptualize stuff.
Yeah. How about you?
Yes. I had my first son a little bit earlier. Like, we even have a pretty dope video called Advice I Know You Won't Follow, where we put a GoPro on his little head and had him run around. So it was, you know, like, just off rip, it makes touring a much different experience. Even like a short 4-day run, I would come home and feel like my kids had grown, you know what I mean? It was like, oh, like, different people. So, I think you no longer feel like you have anything to prove. Like, it's just, like a sentence said, it's a labor of love. So now we just do things that we think are dope. And like, for me, the super dope thing, like, in Denver, and we got to bring my two boys out to, like, help us hype the last song of the set. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm still floating on those cool points with my kids. You know what I mean?
That's cool. And that's what they're for, too. They're supposed to be like your little hype man. They should be out there working.
Yeah. Hell yeah. We're like, Meter Maid's like Menudo. Like, you age out of this shit. So we have to have the next generation coming in.
Right. You're going to take over the family business, kid.
Yeah, exactly.
So you reinvigorated, you're older, you're wiser. What's going to be are you looking forward to doing some creative stuff in the future, or are you going to find the time?
Yeah, man, absolutely. Like Sean kind of mentioned earlier, like, this is a part of our life that we kind of missed out on for a while because of the pandemic, because we just kind of stopped. And we stopped before I moved to Canada. Like, we weren't doing shit when I was living in Brooklyn. So, like, for some reason, it just kind of slowed down. And then a lot of time went by, and then we realized, like, oh shit, like, we need to do this. Like, this is just a part of who we are. And, like, Sean is my brother, and, like, we are, like, we can't really function without this being a part of our lives. So, like, we started doing this album with Alexander Brown, A Line in the Sky, and then we realized...
And Buddy Peace, yeah.
And Buddy Peace. And then we realized we just couldn't stop. Like, we kept making music. Like, we just, like, we have a whole bunch of other stuff that we're working on. We're working on some other projects because, like, it's just filling this, like, hole in us that we really didn't know needed to be filled. And so...
Yeah.
a lot's going to be happening.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, no, like Sens and I have talked about it. Like, we have, you know, like, we've on tour, we've slept in the same bed 100 times. You know what I mean? Like, he's my hetero soulmate, period. Right. Like,
yeah.
not having him in my life was really detrimental. Like, you know what I mean? I filled that hole with a lot of unseemly things, a lot of like not productive shit. So like, having my brother back and having Alexander Brown as a new brother and Buddy Peace, who's always been a brother, like, yeah, no, we're super excited. Like, we feel like we're making the best shit we've ever made before.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, it's a very on brand for us to like hit our stride when we're in our 40s, you know?
Right. People do. Yeah. A lot of artists do. Tom Waits was one of them, you know?
Lots Hell of, yeah.
Yeah. All the Tom Waits fans out there. But yeah, I mean, so yeah. And as a creative person, you said you'd get into some unseemly things. I mean, isn't that's kind of the nature of being creative, is going out, trying to get over the edge and then try to come back before you fall over.
Yup.
Yeah.
Yup.
Yeah.
And sometimes you fall over 50 times.
I know it well. The only reason I bring it up is because I know it well, and I barely survive myself.
Yeah.
But
amen, bro.
Music's powerful. So I want to ask you guys also, your musical inspirations growing up. You guys obviously got a knack for poetry, rhythm, melody, all kinds of stuff. You guys are good. Where does this come from? Where's the inspiration?
You know, I always wish I could say like, oh, my parents used to play me all this cool, obscure music, and they never played me anything. So like, they have no influence. But I really latched onto hip hop in the early 90s. And so it's always been my thing. Like, Tribe Called Quest, Wu-Tang, Del, those are my three favorite, like, first tapes that I own. So, I mean, but outside of hip hop, like, I was a drummer when I was young. So I was really into jazz. So there's a lot of jazz musicians that I would listen to.
Name them.
Like, well, I mean, anybody on Blue Note, obviously. Like, I wasn't like digging deep, but I was just kind of really into what they were doing musically. And like, from there, for me, it just expanded in all different kind of directions. Like, I was really into like beat poets, or like Americana.
Oh yeah,
folk shit, like a bunch of just like stuff that's very not hip hop too.
Who's that guy? Who's that? Gil Scott Heron. He was part of the Last Poets.
Hell yeah.
I love that. I love that.
Hell yeah.
What about you? Yeah. What's your inspirations and early?
Yeah. On? So my parents actually did play a bunch of cool shit. So I came up on, I came up on Bobby Dylan. I came up like with the Beatles and the Stones and all of that good shit. Earth, Wind. My pops was a huge Earth, Wind and Fire fan, which was hilarious because he was like a 5'8" bald white dude. He just loved him some Earth, Wind and Fire. And then you heard your first Tribe record or your first De La record, and all of a sudden everybody in your high school's freestyling, you know what I mean? And then Sens and I talk all the time, like with the indie hip hop, I think part of what made it so exciting was how much you had to search for shit. You know, you would hear a name and then you would have to like make calls and then try to find somebody like on a message board who could burn you a copy of some shit, you know? Yeah. So that was huge too.
Did you guys become both hip hop? It seems like makes you kind of an encyclopedia about music, because all of a sudden you're digging for samples, or you're looking out. De La Soul sampled all this great old music and shit. So did you learn a lot through hip hop sampling about like music history?
I don't know. I didn't learn a lot about sample. I didn't learn about music through samples. I became an underground hip hop encyclopedia though. Like I knew every like random artist on the East or West Coast or Midwest and what was happening. These people who are like completely off the radar now, or like people who became a lot more than they were. But like, that was my thing. But no, like for me, it was kind of the opposite, where like I would hear stuff in hip hop songs and be like, I would hear it later and be like, oh, that's a different song. I'd hear like White Death, No Woman, No Cry, be like, and then later I'd hear Bob Dylan or Bob Marley, and I'd be like, wait, that was a different song?
Oh my God.
I was like backward on everything.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is that you go back and then you're like, oh, and then, you know, you're supposed to remember and catalog it and say, okay, who came first?
Hell yeah.
I love that.
I still love when DJs do sets where they'll show you where the samples came from for the huge songs. I love that shit.
Yeah. And mashups and all that shit is just like, it like Mad Lib. You remember when Mad Lib released that Blue Note thing? He taught a whole generation of kids about, you know, deep cuts. And I loved it. It taught me everything. And that's why I made the branch. I branched over to like folk music instead, because I loved the actual instrumentations and shit. But I was hip hop just like you guys for a long time. But yeah. It's just, I love that.
I always found the other thing is I got intimidated by the diggers. Like all the beat diggers were like so like insulary, and I was afraid, and like I was afraid of saying the wrong thing or like not knowing the record. Because I had a couple friends who like knew everything, but I couldn't mess with it.
But if you can like produce and rap and stuff, you don't need to be an encyclopedia of old music, you know?
Yeah.
No, but like you said, it's super dope. Like, just going through old records, you know what I mean? And like coming across the samples that you heard in big songs and being like, holy shit, that was a 3-second snippet. You know what I mean? Like, that's unbelievable. Like we were geeking out about that shit with Ninth Wonder when we were down with him in North Carolina, like, cause he's a true head too. Like, and he's exactly who you hope he is. And yeah, like just that discovery, like, you know, once you hear where the sample came from, you want to hear the whole song, you know?
Yeah.
And then maybe that's a record that you love.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Or then you hear it and you're like, the rest of that song is garbage, but that 3 seconds was gold.
Right. That's true. But I used to have the 300 drum beats and stuff, and I'd go through them, and then I found out which songs are which. Some of them, the drum beat, the first 3 seconds is the only good part.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, you guys are in hip hop, which is, it's known for, it's like braggadocio. You get some big egos. It's always talking about, I'm so fly, I'm so bad, I'm the baddest, biggest, baddest. Has there ever been conflicts with other artists or like with big egos? I know Sage Francis said he used to have a big ego, but then he's mellowed out over the years and has become sort of, you know, older and wiser. I have too. I understand that. Have you guys ever had issues with people on the road, like big heads?
Yeah. Honestly, like a small handful. The vast majority of people that we've met through this game have been on their grind, just like everybody else, and just real on, you know, like on your come up, it's really fucking tough sleeping on the promoter's floor during a tour. You know what I mean? Like, no, I don't want to freestyle at 4 a.m. Like I want to sleep with my hoodie as the blanket right next to Sentence on a futon. You know what I mean? Like, so
yeah,
but it just makes those people that do have that ego, they stick out like a sore fucking thumb, man.
Yeah. And I don't think there's any like stories of us like having to deal with like some monster with a terrible ego, but like there's just those people you run to, like maybe you know their name or maybe you've done some stuff with them before, and you run into them at a show and they act a certain way, like they're up here and it's like, who do you think you are? Like, where do you think we are right now? Like, we're in some small venue or whatever. And like, back that was okay when you were like 21, I guess, but like,
yeah.
At some point, acting hard, it just got the best of me. I feel silly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And also, just like, it behooved everybody to connect. You know what I mean? If you met a dope crew in Montana, they would hook you up with a show when you came through, and you're like, yo, when you come through to Brooklyn, we got you. You know what I mean? Like, the community aspect of it was beneficial to everybody. So those people who, you know, like would pull shit like that immediately. You're like Sen said, you're like, what the fuck planet are you on? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you're living a different reality than I am.
Yeah. I thank God it is a minority most of the time, but you're doing nightlife stuff. You're in the night, you're in the clubs at night. You also get drunk people, you know?
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
infamous. I remember all kinds of stories about drunk people just being completely out of control.
Yeah.
They want to get up on stage and play my guitar while I'm on stage. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, man. Yeah. You guys ever had any drunkards?
Yeah.
Every show.
Yeah.
Every show. But you know what? Like, but that's like, people don't have malice in their hearts, right? It's just some people go a little too hard and, you know, they're a little sloppy at the merch table, but, you know, like, they're not trying to hurt anybody. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, of course we'll still sign a CD for you. Buy whatever you want. You know what I mean? Like, just like, you know, we don't, like, can't have the 45-minute conversation now. You know?
Yeah. It's just, mostly it's like these guys that are enjoying themselves a little too much, and that's all.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's what it felt like. Yeah, they like, rode the bus two stops longer than everybody else did. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's all right. We'll give them a pass, you know. Well, look, we run out of time. Look, what are you guys working on next? Who do you want to give shout-outs to?
Strange Famous, Sage. Yeah. I mean, Sage. Alexander Brown, Buddy Peace. Like, we have so many people that we're thankful for working with right now. On our new album, we worked with a lot of Strange Famous artists. We worked with Jesse the Tree, Mopes, Early Adopted.
These mics.
These, yep.
Are we forgetting anybody?
I hope not. There's definitely some people we didn't get to work with that we're looking forward to hopefully doing some stuff with in the future. But like, I think to just like get back to like giving props, like we're just so happy to be a part of Strange Famous right now because it's this like really positive group of people who are just passionate about what we do. And I think that just like is reverberating throughout the music right now. And it's such a nice place to be. It's such a cool group of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the Denver show, like pulling 3,000 people in 2023, like 2 years ago, I wouldn't even have dreamt something like that. You know what I mean? But oh, Cass One's
Cass
on the
right. One.
Yeah, love you, Cass.
Yeah.
Like the backstage vibe was beautiful. That like every person who came to that show, that's what they brought up. Because during someone's set, if you look at the back wall, the whole roster's lined up against the back wall. You know what I mean? Watching their, like, we all watch each other's sets. We all know each other's shit. Like, there's real love. You know what I mean? And this is all, it's like the house that Sage Francis built. And we all get to live in it and be a part of it. And I don't know. It feels like a resurgence right now. It feels like the kind of music that we make, like, as an audience again, you know. For a while, it was really not cool to be an indie rapper, you know what I mean? Like, and I think that stigma has sort of washed off.
Yeah. Yeah. I would hate to think that there was ever a stigma, but, you know, I always loved it. So, but maybe I'm just an old guy now.
No, I'm in the same boat as you, you know what I mean? Like, I think it went, like when indie hip hop came out, every review was like, oh, they don't talk about guns and bling. And the reviews were all like low key racist. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like, we don't talk about that shit because we don't live it. You know what I mean? Like if we lived it, we would talk about that shit. But, and I think it went too far in that direction, where it became almost like, you know, people would list their five favorite MCs and all of them would be white. You know what I mean? Like something's wrong there. That's like the canary in the coal mine, that something's wrong.
Yeah.
Like we've lost our connection to the roots. So
yeah.
the pushback was inevitable, but I don't know, like the fact that Strange Fame has outlived the pandemic, all of this shit, like Sage was such a lightning rod back then as like the emo poetry rapper, except Sage is like the illest MC of all, you know what I mean? Like he can do that because he could perform in front of any crowd you put him in front of, and he's gonna kill that shit. Like he's fucking ill. Like that's why he's able to do what he does, because his shit is rooted in like
he lives
in the heart of it.
He lives and breathes real authentic hip hop in his heart and soul. Like he told me that there's nothing that was ever more of an influence on him. He's like, I wasn't into rock, I wasn't into punk, I only wanted to do this, and that was it. And you could tell
because it was the boom that got me. It was the boom break. Yeah, dude.
I gotta check out that track you produced. I gotta go back and listen to it now because I know that fucking album so well. All right, look, we'll sign off to everybody. We'll talk after this, okay?
All right.
I want to thank Meter Maids. They'll be back when their next album drops. They'll come hang out. We'll do it again. I want to thank you guys for coming. Sentence, what's your MC name? I think it says Sean Patrick in the thing.
Yeah, dude, my MC name is Swell. No one has ever called me that ever in my life. So now I just wrote my first and my middle name, like, to try to split the difference. But right. No, it's Strange Famous till our funky fresh hearts beat out our fucking chest forever. And yeah. Thank you so much for having us on, brother. This was a blast.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
You guys are great people. All right. We'll see you guys next time on the channel. Bye-bye.